Good evening, Rabbi.
Oh, good evening, good evening. Let's make a start now that we're trying to keep to the times. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the halachas, Be'ez Hashem, of the six halachas that are going to come up relevant to Purim, four of which are relevant on Purim, two of them are relevant before Purim. I'm going to try and go through them and with their different halachas this year due to the pandemic, and due to the fact that it's Erev Shabbos, and go through them and give consideration to all of them. What I'll probably do is go through one by one and give people a chance to ask questions and then take more questions at the end. Be'ez Hashem. So I'm going to start off in chronological order. The first one is Parshas Zochar. Parshas Zochar, of course, is the Shabbos before Purim. It's the Shabbos before Purim, and the mitzvah is a mitzvah upon the men, and according to some poskim, upon the ladies, although our ladies have taken it on very much as a chiyuv to come and hear Parshas Zochar. And, of course, those who can come to shul this year, so clearly they should come to shul to hear Parshas Zochar. Those who are isolating, those who have been told it's not safe for them to come out, those who are isolating because they or someone in the family has tested positive, they for sure mustn't come out. And for anybody who cannot come this year, then there will be a Mitzvah Hashem, a catch-up Parshas Zochar, which can be done at any time, according to most poskim. Although that it is done traditionally and read the Mitzvah Min HaTorah to hear Parshas Zochar from a Kosher Sefer Torah is done and is fulfilled on the Shabbos before Purim, for obvious reasons, because of Amalek and Haman, etc. Nonetheless, the mitzvah is an annual mitzvah to hear Parshas Zochar once per year, and therefore they can be caught up according to most opinions, except for Rabbi Yashiv, who holds that the Takonas Chachomim is only to read it on Parshas Zochar itself, and according to that opinion, so that it's a once a year, and if you've missed it, you missed it. And therefore, those who can come, those who are able to come, especially at North Hendon Adas, the organization is tremendous, Baruch Hashem, thanks to Bernard Bergman and those who help him, that the social distancing, the ventilation, the wearing of masks, the sanitization of hands, etc., means that it is very safe indeed. Therefore, those who can come, should come, and hear it on Parshas Zochar, on Shabbos. Those who are unable to come, they will have a catch-up opportunity. I'll say the only way to be yotze the mitzvah is to hear the Parshas Zochar being read from a kosher sefer Torah during the day. There's no mitzvah during the night. Kriyas HaTorah is during the day, and therefore it will be arranged in Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully before Parshas Kisetze. But an obvious one would be Shabbos Parshas Kisetze, which is the end of the Sedra. But let's hope in Mitzvah Hashem that we can get back to some type of normal before then, and then we will duly announce that there will be a catch-up of Parshas Zochar. So that should be relatively simple, relatively simple. Needless to say that there won't be an opportunity to hear it on the phone, certainly not on Shabbos, but we'll come to telephone hearings when we talk about the Megillah Mitzvah Hashem that's coming. Any questions so far on Parshas Zochar? Let's go on to Machtis HaShekel. Maybe if people could put questions in the chat box, it might be easier. Then I can have a look at them and read out the questions. Okay? That might make the most sense. It'd be the best way to do it.
I'm not doing it on the internet because I've got a very unstable connection, so I'm on the phone only. If the mitzvah here, Parshas Zochar, once a year, then by missing it on Shabbos Parshas Zochar, there will be a longer, the gap, the interval from last year to when it occurred will be more than a year.
It doesn't matter. There is a Chasam Sofer who says that you've got to hear, mustn't be a whole year going by between one and the other. It's a very nice thing. We don't paskin it la halacha. It's a very nice chumrah. And therefore, when it comes to a Shana Muberes, like the year coming, then it will affect it. And that's what the Chasam Sofer says, to have kavon in Parshas Kisetze for that reason. But strictly speaking, we don't pass for that the Chasam Sefer. All right?
Okay.
So on to the next. Machtis HaShekel. So Machtis HaShekel, so the minig is before Purim to give half a shekel, three times half a shekel, £1.50, because half a shekel, the zecher of the half shekel that was given in the Chodesh Adar. And that is, was given, in fact, half a shekel, half a silver shekel to contribute towards the korbanos of the tzibur. We give three half a shekels because that alludes to the three times donations were given. Once half shekel for the Adonim, once for the korbanos, and once kol hashi dvenu liboy in Parshas Truma. So the minig is to give three times half the coin of the currency of the country you live in. So it'll be half a dollar in America, half a shekel, Israeli shekel in Eretz Israel, half a euro in Europe, and etc. Half a pound, 50 pence here. And therefore our minig is to give £1.50. We know those who will be coming to shul. You can put your £1.50 into the bowl which says machtis zechel machtis hashekel. And please, although some years we put three times 50 pence wrapped up in sellotape, we're not going to do that this year because we don't want people touching or everyone touching the same thing. And therefore, prepare for yourselves three 50 pence coins and put those into the bowl. That's the best way to do it. If you're isolating and you can't get to shul, you could make a £1.50 transfer to the shul gemach, to Mr. Friedman, and reference it machtis hashekel. That would be a perfect acceptable thing to do. Although the minig is to do it before Purim, in fact, we always do it mincha on Tanis Esther. This year, of course, Tanis Esther is Thursday, quite well separated between then and Kriyas Megillah on Matzoi Shabbos. And therefore, you can give it any time between Tanis Esther and the beginning of the Megillah. Send it through by bank transfer. If you're isolating, put it into the bowl. And the bowls will be out on Thursday, Tanis Esther, and they'll be out again on Matzoi Shabbos, except the people won't have money with them on Matzoi Shabbos. So do bring it to shul on Thursday if you're coming to shul Thursday afternoon. But there's the solution for those who are isolating. It is a minhag to do so. For some reason, you can't manage whatever it is. Do your best. And I think the bank transfer is the best you can do if you are isolating. Possibly you could arrange for someone to come and pick it up. But again, be careful, be wary of, if you are isolating because you need to isolate, not just because you're being careful, but because someone's positive or you're positive, tested positive, in that case there, be careful that you don't end up, chas v'shalom, giving it to somebody else who's picking up the money for you. They don't really need to pick up your coins. It's not a din in lochem. And if somebody gives the coins on your behalf and you reimburse them at some later stage, that is another very acceptable way of doing it, to actually give, somebody should give 350 pence coins on behalf for you. That's a mitzvah for the men only, men 20 and above. Some have the minhag over the age of bar mitzvah. Some have the minhag to give it for their male children. Some have a minhag even to give it for one's wife if she's expecting, because it might be a boy. All of those, fantastic. That's as normal. Give your 350 pence pieces for each one, just taking care to make sure that you don't, that there's no cross contamination where as is required. So that's the machtis hashekel. Let me just have a look at any questions that are here. I'll read them out. When will be a second reading on Shabbos in the afternoon? Have a look at the luach. The shul will publicize, as it always does, when the kriyos are. Purim is on Friday, not on Matzoi Shabbos. Absolutely right. I'm completely mixed up. Thank you very much, Berners. So absolutely. So it'll be on Thursday, and I'm getting mixed up because in Eretz Israel, that's the way it is this year. I mean, Yerushalayim. So it's a Purim Meshulash. So I seem to have got Purim Meshulash on my brain. Thank you very much. So sometime on Thursday to give the Machzis a shekel. If for some reason you didn't manage to give it before the Megillah, you could still give it afterwards, but the preference is to give it before the Kriyas Megillah. Thank you very much. On to the next one, which is the Kriyas Megillah itself. So the options for Kriyas Megillah are the following. That clearly there'll be two Kriyas Megillah in the night, two Kriyas Megillah in the day, as usual. Those will be socially distanced and need to be pre-booked in advance. I suggest the following. Those who are, since it's Purim and you can dress up, people are very welcome if they would feel normally a bit uneasy about coming to shul, but there's no very good reason for them not to come in to shul. I suggest that people come dressed up in PPE. It is the perfect time to dress up and maybe the perfect dress for this Purim. To come along, you can wear as many masks as you like, visors. You can pick up a PPE kit for less than £10 and you'll be beautifully dressed up, as well covered as you are. Just leave at least one ear uncovered so you can hear the Megillah. But apart from that, you're welcome to come and there shouldn't be any problem. Those who are concerned on medical grounds, they themselves haven't tested positive, nor have members of their family, and therefore that they're allowed to leave their homes, but are not coming to shul at the moment at all because they're nervous. Could they please contact Mr. Bergman? Send him an email, please, because we are laying on Be'ez Hashem a third Megillah reading with super social distancing. I don't want people who are normally coming to shul to avail themselves of this because we want to keep the numbers down. So I suggest something like we'll have a maximum of 20 people in shul, very greatly social distance, ventilation, etc. They won't have to touch the door. The door will be open for them as long as they come on time and they can walk in. There'll be no banging for homon in the third one. They'll just hear the Megillah, in you go and out you go. And therefore anybody who doesn't have to isolate legally should very much consider availing themselves of this service. They can come up dressed with PPE as well, but it'll be, and therefore really the risk is very, very minimal, and if not zero. And therefore people should avail themselves of this special extra reading that's been very kindly laid on by Gershon and team to the Kriyas Megillah. Those who are still staying at home, for whatever reason it might be, the best option is that they should themselves, we are happy to deliver Megillahs. We've got quite a few Megillahs available. Deliver Megillahs in advance to your homes. And again, these Megillahs will be delivered, making sure that that only gloves are worn and therefore the Megillahs will be safe to handle. And by all means, you're welcome to handle them yourself with gloves. And you can read the Megillah yourself from a kosher Megillah and there'll be a recording available, a slow recording, which you can pause. And the best way to do it is to listen to a phrase of the Megillah and then say it yourself. Listen to the next phrase, say it yourself. Listen, keep going on, and they'll be pausing and say the phrase, listen to yourself. In that way, the man of the household can be moitzi and other people at home. There's no problem at all that he can do. One lady could say it for herself, or she could be moitzi one lady. But a lady cannot be moitzi a man, and nor can one lady be moitzi women, plural. One woman is okay, and not one, and that's the maximum for women. For men, the man of the household can say this Megillah, and the idea is that therefore he can say it. He could put the recording, he could put earphones in, and then all they would hear would be the Megillah being read, and they wouldn't have the interference of the recording. Possibly, if the recording was played slowly and it's available, and we'll give details of it. It is available on Kol HaLoshon, but it'll be made available at recording. You could slow the recording down, have earphones in, and say it together with the recording. If you're quite proficient, you can do that. Your members of the household mustn't hear the recording at the same time, because although we say with the Megillah that Trei Koli Mishtamoi, that you can hear because of the Chavivus of the mitzvah of Megillah, that you could have more than one person reading at the same time. That's only true if the many readings are all from a kosher Megillah. But if they're from a recording, you can't be Yotzer from a recording. That everyone agrees to. a recording is you cannot be Yotzer, and therefore that recording, it doesn't matter if you, the Baal Korah, can hear it at the same time because you're reading. But anyone who's listening must only hear you, the one who's reading. And the third condition is that you really need someone to sit there, member of the household, with a real chumash, pointed chumash, and they should carefully check to make sure that you've got the words right. You're not, if you're a proficient Megillah reader, even then, we always have this in the shul because of things that have gone wrong. Nobody's perfect. Everybody, even the best Baal Korah, can make a mistake. One needs to have somebody to check to make sure you didn't read. You've got Yotzei, Yotzer, and that you've got various things where you couldn't see without points in the Megillah, you get it wrong. They're creek sieves. They're all types of pitfalls, as those the Baal Korah will tell you. And therefore, you've got to, should have someone to correct. So if you're doing it at home, you need three things. You need a kosher Megillah, number one. You need a recording, number two. I would suggest that you practice it a few times beforehand with the recording as well. And you need to have someone to check and follow with you at the time when you're reading the Megillah. In such a case, then, you can say all the brachas, but the bracha afterwards, after the Megillah, you only make if you've got a minyan. So if you're at home, you're going to miss that bracha out, the last one afterwards. But the first three brachas beforehand are Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyonu. Those three brachas you'll make both the morning, and you'll also make it also the night and the morning. There is something that's been floated and suggested, is that you can be Yotzer with a telephone or a Zoom live stream. And I must tell you like this. I really do not think you can be Yotzer with that at all. There are two camps of opinions. There are those who say, there's Reb Shlomo Zalman Oibach, Zecher Tzad Livrocha, my Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, there's Dain Weiss, originally from Manchester, and Av Bezin in Yerushalayim, and many other, the Tzitz Eliezer, you've got the Dibros Moshe, you've got many, many others say that you're not hearing the voice, you're not hearing the person, it's just simply an electronic recreation of a sound alike of the sounds, and therefore you won't be Yotzer, because you need to be actually hear the Baal Korah. You're not hearing the Baal Korah, you're hearing an electronic recreation down the telephone line or the Zoom. And therefore you can't be Yotzer. Shlomo Zalman, Dain Weiss, etc., they say impossible, you're wasting your time. Who gives some time for it? Who gives it some credibility? There's the second camp. The camp of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzad Livrocha, and Rav Vozner, Zecher Tzad Livrocha, they say the following. I'm reading from Rav Moshe, Tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says the following. He says, Loi boru hadova, ma she'omrim shuka, it's not clear at all. B'dvar kriyas hamagila, alidei microphone, kosher loima b'zeh halacha brura. It's difficult to give clear halacha. He says, it's not clear. As a result of this, Ramesha says, he's not sure, but it's definitely no good. But he definitely says, I can't say it is good. Maybe you shouldn't tell them off and campaign against those who are doing it as far as the halacha is concerned. But Mikol Mokim, I'm reading from Rav Moshe, Kiven Shlei Boru Leheta. It's not clear that it's Mutter. Vu'inyan Chodosh, it's something new. Bichlal Yesh Limchoy, says Rav Moshe, one's got to be Mocha, tell people off, Kedei Lemoinon, to stop them, prevent them, Milirdo Fachri Chodosh Zachirus. Rav Moshe won't have it, and so does Rav Vozner, says the same, he doesn't want it, and indeed, I spoke it over with Dain Geli, because Dain Geli, the rumor was that Dain Geli said that it's Mutter. And I'm going to read from an email that was sent out to the United Synagogue Rabbonim, if I can find it. I'm going to send that to an email that he writes the following. I discussed it with him as well, but this is actually what he sent out. So he sent out the following psak. He writes like this: even though, according to conventional halacha, there is a serious question whether one has performed a bona fide mitzvah with such a hearing, but he says, in a situation where no other option is available, one should at least participate in such a manner. So you can't be yotzer. And that is basically the bottom line with this, is that you cannot be yotzer with it. But that Dain Geli wants that the United Synagogue members who are not going to be able to read for themselves, those who can't go to shul because nearly all of the shuls are closed, and even those that are open, there are many people who are isolating, that at least they shouldn't be isolated from Megillah altogether, and therefore he wants them to have some of the Ruach of Purim, and therefore they should listen to it. But that's all. That is the bottom line. And to put it in halachic terms, according to Shlomo Zalman, it's no good at all. According to Rav Moshe, it's a sophic, but it's good. But Rav Moshe doesn't want people doing it this way, because what will happen is, and this Dain Geli and I discussed together, there's a real worry that next year people won't come to shul, and instead people will listen to a recording. A recording, a non-live recording, is definitely no good according to everyone. And therefore, certainly, the concern is that that should not take place. But the bottom line of it is, it's a svek sveka. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's nothing to talk of. And according to Rav Moshe, he doesn't want to say that it's all right. And Rav Moshe writes that it's only a sophic. Clearly, he writes in his mind, he doesn't really want it done. And therefore, certainly, the hearing, if you can't get out and you can't have, I've heard that there is a possibility of having the Megillah read outside for you in your front garden by someone's going to read the Megillah. If the weather's up to it and you can manage that, by all means, that's perfectly all right. In your front garden, in your back garden, that could be a solution. So that's very good. So either you come to shul for the ordinary Megillah reading dressed up in your PPE, or you come to the third Megillah reading, which is super social distancing, or you learn the Megillah yourself and you have a recording and someone to check you, or you have somebody outside in your front or back garden reading the Megillah if it's not pouring. And if not that, then your status is one of onus. You are unavoidably unable to read the Megillah, and therefore you're potter. You're potter from the Megillah. If it's dangerous, if you're not allowed to go out, it's dangerous for you or dangerous for others for you to go out, you're potter. And then, by all means, if you want to listen to it on Zoom, you want to listen to it on the phone, you're welcome to do so, but you won't be yotzer with it. And therefore, those are the only option. The telephone option is not an option to be yotzer. It's just that in some way, as Dain Geli says, to join in with what's going on from afar. That's as far as the Megillah reading. I'm just going to take, if there are any more questions, I'm just going to have a look if there are any more. We plan to run a survey to book for all three readings during the night and day. That's what Bernard's throwing in. There's going to be a survey, and we'll see where we get with everything. But those are the potential possibilities of what can be done. Let's go on to...
May I ask something, please? It's Gershon here. Can I request that the minyanim on Purim should start as early as possible, because there's going to be a big demand to help with Megillah reading, besides it being such a short day?
Absolutely. In fact, what I want to do, and I'm not quite sure what time has been put out by the shul, but what I want is, I'd like us to daven Maariv anyway. Maariv on Thursday night should be quarter of an hour before night. Quarter an hour before the end of the Tarnis, so that we can start the Megillah immediately at the Tarnis. In fact, that should happen every year. Why should people fast quarter of an hour extra? All that needs to be done is that people need to be reminded and to remember to say Kriya Shema again when you get home after the Megillah. But there's no reason why people should have to fast an extra quarter of an hour, although it's very nice to daven Maariv at night, but I don't think it's fair to the whole tzibur that people should have to fast the extra quarter of an hour. And as you say, Gershon, this year, it is early, because it's early in the year. So if I'm not mistaken, nightfall is at 6:15, if I'm not mistaken. I forgot to look it up just now. But it's something like 6:15, I think, is Lilo. And therefore, we should be davening Maariv at 6 and start bang on at 6:15. we should start Maariv. So you should be okay with that one. As far as the times for Friday morning is concerned, that I think the early minyan is at 6:30, something like that. And I think that's really early enough. Don't think we can manage early than that, but we've got ample time for three readings of the Megillah. So I think that's fine, Gershon, as we've already discussed together.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Other question, if I may, and that is, if women are reading for themselves at home from a Megillah Kasherah, do they make the same brachas as everyone else?
Thank you very much for reminding me of that. Quite right. Ladies, as always, as we say, if ladies are making the bracha, instead of saying al mikro Megillah, they should say the bracha of lishmaya mikro Megillah, because ladies don't have an obligation to read the Megillah. Men do. Men have an obligation to read the Megillah. Ladies have an obligation to hear the Megillah. And therefore, a lady who reads the Megillah is only being yotze her mitzvah to hear it. And by the way, that's another question, and we'll deal with this at much greater length, the Tshuva of Moshe, how it can possibly work on the telephone. How does the concept of Shomer Ka'ina work via the telephone? You're nowhere near. And that's part of the problem of the telephone reading, but it's a machlokes against of the gedolim, and we'll just explore the two sides of it. But quite right, the lady should say al mikro Megillah. But again, as I mentioned, lady can read for herself. She can be motzi one other lady. She cannot be motzi any other man, not even a husband, and she can but she can be motzi one other lady. That is the possibility. Let's go on to Matonis Livyonim. Matonis Livyonim, the mitzvah is, as always, to give two presents, to be able to give two donations to two poor people. And Mr. Friedman will look after that for us in Mitzvah Hashem this year, as he always does. And the way to perform this mitzvah, you can give the money now already. The money can be given now, and I suggest anyway, whoever can should, by bank transfer from either a charity account or from a bank account, that money can be put into Mr. Friedman's account. And I'll get some bank details sent across for people so that they know information, so they know where to transfer it to. But they can transfer the money already now, because Mr. Friedman, all the money given in advance, Mr. Friedman will actually give the banknotes, will actually give money to the Aniyim on the day of Purim. So we can appoint Mr. Friedman as a Shliach already now by putting money in the account, and that one should reference that bank transfer as put your name and that it is for Mishleach Monas. It should say explicitly that it is for Mishleach Monas. And Matonis Livyonim, I'm sorry, thank you, for Matonis Livyonim. And then the mitzvah will be done on the day of Purim, and that should be fine. Again, if you wish to put money into the bowl on Purim, well, you won't be able to do it Purim night, I'm getting all mixed up. It's Thursday night. You can do it Thursday night. You could do it Thursday during the day. Those will be out. You could put money there, or you could put vouchers, whatever it is, that's absolutely fine. Mr. Friedman always prefers us to give money in advance so that he can manage to get banknotes out. There's no point giving an oni a check or a voucher. You won't be yotze by giving it to the oni. The oni needs to get actual money on the day of Purim. And therefore, Mr. Friedman has to know in advance how much money to take out of the bank. And therefore, that would certainly help him if we were all to give whatever we want to give for Matonis Livyonim. Give that in advance, notify Mr. Friedman that it is for that, and then he knows where he's up to. I'll also add on Matonis Livyonim, bear in mind that this year they're not going to be spielers. There will not be people going around collecting money. That is absolutely out and against both health and safety and against the law. And therefore, that's certainly something that won't happen. So bear in mind that maybe you might want to give more Matonis Livyonim than usual, or you don't have to give it only via the shul, but maybe work out what you would normally give on a Purim, and maybe you can make sure that the Aniyim who really wait for Purim throughout the year are not shortchanged as a result of the pandemic, there's no reason that they shouldn't receive all that we can give them. So therefore, that is the Maton list of Yonim. Don't see any new questions on this. We can move on. Okay. Let's continue now to after that. Now Mishloach Monos. Mishloach Monos. Again, as I've mentioned previously, I will just mention Matonis Legionim, the minimum for people, for adults, I've said, for the minimum is £5 for each oni, £5 times two, and it applies to both husband and wife. It applies to separately to boys and to girls. Each boy and girl over bar or bas mitzvah has an obligation. Each husband and wife have separate obligations, but the husband can give for twice as much on behalf of his wife. That's perfectly all right. That's perfectly okay. A teenager in school, it's enough if they give £1 per oni, so it's £2 in total. They'll be yotze that way. And all of that can be arranged. You can give for your teenage children that they can be yotze the mitzvah. And therefore, in that way, that can all be taken care of. Mishloach Monos, the minimum of Mishloach Monos to give is to give to one person on Purim. It has to be given on the day of Purim, not the night, on the day of Purim, from sunrise to sunset. One has to give it to a person for whom it's Purim. So there's no point in sending somebody Mishloach Monos in Yerushalayim or in Australia. Not in Yerushalayim because it's not Purim when it's Purim for here. No point in Australia because it's the night there when it's the day here and vice versa. So somebody to whom it's Purim. And one, the minimum is to give one Mishloach Monos containing two reasonably choshever foods that are going to give, they're going to give some pleasure to the recipient. They should be ready to eat, but it could be food and drink. It could be a carton of orange juice, and it could be a pineapple. It could be a cake, and it could be a bottle of wine. It could be a mango, and it could be a grapefruit. That it can be two reasonably choshever foods, ready to eat, nothing raw, but things that are ready to eat, those should be given. That is the minimum per person. Husbands and wives have a separate chiyuvim again in this respect. However, you could put together a four-item Mishloach Monos given from Mr. and Mrs. to Mr. and Mrs. That's perfectly all right, in which case husband and wife will be yotze with the four given together. The husband is giving to the husband and the wife is giving to the wife. That's perfectly okay. That's the minimum. A couple of things to be aware of. If at all possible, do prepare your Mishloach Monos maybe a few days in advance. That way, you don't want to give Mishloach Monos to people and to risk infecting other people. And therefore, one should be sensitive of the situation and should pack them ideally with sanitized hands. But possibly the best thing to do is have it ready beforehand so that when you give it, it's already, once it's been, so to speak, quarantined for 3 days, there's no problem at all. And deliver the Mishloach Monos with gloves and that do what we can to keep each other safe. It would not be a nice present to give somebody COVID-19 on Purim as part of the Mishloach Monos. We all remember last year and the effects of last year and we didn't realize what was going on. But it was a devastating Purim in retrospect. And the idea is that this Purim Mitzvah should be a simcha and everyone should keep well and safe. And therefore, I would say like this. You don't have to give your Mishloach Monos, actually, although it has to be given to the recipient on the day of Purim. However, you could possibly drop it off at a neighbor the night before and get a neighbor to deliver it for you on Purim. Again, the same thing with gloves to make sure that another possibility is you could leave it outside the doorstep. Somebody's out in the porch or outside the doorstep of somebody on Purim. And I would suggest possibly that we don't go mad with the numbers of Mishloach Monos this year, because I'm not saying you have to limit it to the minimum, but let's not go mad with it because I think that there are a number of issues. Number one, if we're still in a lockdown or tier 5 or tier 4 where they want us to stay at home, I think it would be very inappropriate. The word Chil Hashem is a very cheap word, but I think it would be very wrong for we to be visibly noticed walking up and down the streets in large numbers, all dressed up as if nothing had happened. And therefore, I think that we need to be discreet about getting on with the delivery of our Mishloach Monos. So to go in a car and to deliver quickly to this house, that house, and the other house, leave it outside, possibly ring on the bell, and then to go away again, and that's it. So do the job quickly and swiftly without making too much of a fuss of what we're doing. That, I think, is the right thing to do, that we should be keeping the law and seeing to keep the law at the same time as we mekayim the mitzvah. But I think if people want to give a few Mishloach Monos, they're very welcome to do so. I think people shouldn't feel the pressure to give back. I think that should be agreed in advance. People will choose who to give to. Nobody needs to feel they have to give back. And therefore, but people should choose a few people to give to. They should give them to them. Remember, anyway, it's Friday. It's a short day. So get on with it. Give them out. And then possibly, if possible, give to people near you. And that's it. People who are isolating or people who are being careful, who don't want to step outside the house, various options exist. They could, there are options of phoning up shops and asking them to deliver. Maybe they're more expensive, so you'll end up maybe doing one Mishloach Monos only. There are other options. You could even get fruiterers to deliver. And that, again, it costs a little bit more because of the delivery, but that's it. Another possibility is you could possibly ask someone to help you out and prepare Mishloach Monos, leave it outside, and maybe as a kehillah, we can arrange for people who would like to give Mishloach Monos, that we can help a little bit, that pick up Mishloach Monos from one and take it to the next. But I would suggest if you are relying on other people to help you with the Mishloach Monos, that you shouldn't be giving too many. Really try and keep those numbers down, not to be matriach, but your nice chumras of Mishloach Monos shouldn't come on someone else's cheshbon, particularly as it's Friday, and try and keep it down to a minimum. Maybe again, those could be dropped off with a neighbor to give on Purim day to another neighbor, and that would be okay. Giving inside within the members of your household, of your bubble, is not at all sapashat. A husband giving to his wife and a wife to the husband, there's all problems of kinyonim and who does it belong to, and teenage children who are samuch al shulchan aviem, who are eating and benefiting from the household expenses, etc. So they don't count as an entity in their own right. And therefore, not at all so clear that you can give to them. And therefore, I don't think that option is really very good. If you have a child at home who's working and contributing towards the house expenses and they count as a separate entity, that would work. But if they if they are part of the household in every way, they count as one unit with the household. And therefore, at least one Mishloach Monos should be given either via deliveries or arranging for someone to help you with the delivery from yourselves to whoever it is, and to make sure, and that way to make sure that you're yotzer. Now onto the Suddhas Purim, onto the Suddhas Purim itself. It's Erev Shabbos, and as a result of being Erev Shabbos, the Ramah says that we hold the Suddha in the morning. Why in the morning? Because we want to leave some room we should empty out after the Suddha and have some appetite for Shabbos. That's mentioned explicitly in the Ramah in Simon Reish and Tof Reish Tzadi Hei Sif Base, and therefore that's the din. If for any reason you were unable to have it in the morning, for example, you're going to the third Megillah reading and the time you got going with it all, it wasn't possible. And I will mention that we always makpid not to have the Suddhas Purim until we have performed the other mitzvahs of the day. So that's always a thing to do. Make sure your Matanos Levyonim is given before you sit down to a Suddha. Make sure your Mishloach Monos, certainly the minimum to be yotzer, has been given before you sit down to the Suddha. And similarly, to hear the Megillah, that is the Chatchila, what one should do before sitting down to the Suddha. Clearly, because the concerns are that a person will get engrossed in the Suddha and forget to do the other mitzvahs. Therefore, if for some reason it's impossible to start your Suddha in the morning, you can start it later as well if necessary. And really, if it push comes to shove, as they say up north, you could literally append your Purim Suda that you start during the day on Friday, you could append it to your Friday night meal. And there are lots of dinim about that, that you stop as soon as it gets to night and you cover over the challah and you make Kiddush. And if you add wine in the Purim Suda, you won't even make Bari Priya Goffin. You'll just make Asher Kiddushon Mitzvah Savarot Savonu. And then you'll wash. And then we don't have to, the question is, do you have to wash again? Do you have to amotzi? Well, maybe in Mitzvah Hashem, in the Shabbos Shurim, we'll get involved in all of that. But anyone who wishes to do so is welcome to contact me and I'll give you a stage-by-stage preparation. But you could, in theory, have the Suda all day. So all the mitzvahs of Purim, the four mitzvahs of Purim can be done right from sunrise to sunset, even though it's Friday. However, in the first place, try and arrange to have the Suda in the morning, if at all possible, and if not, as early as possible in the afternoon. Although, if it's not possible, as we said, you could literally continue Suda into Shabbos, then bench before you dav Maariv. Since you started the Suda on time, you can continue the Suda. You continue the Suda, bench before you dav Maariv, say Alanisim in benching. Say Vatsay and Alanisim in benching, that you can do. And then daven Maariv. At that point, then you can daven, then daven Maariv. Quite an interesting setup. If you want to do it, I'll give you the details of it. So that is, as far as everything is concerned, clearly with the Suda this year, I'm sure in our shul that it's obvious and doesn't have to be said that absolutely no mixing of any people outside of what's agreed to as a social bubble. And let's be really careful that nobody catches COVID from anybody else as a result of Purim Suddas, that no harm should come to anybody. Shein the mitzvah, lo yeda dovaro, anybody who's doing the mitzvahs should be very careful that no harm comes to anybody else, ourselves, or anybody else as a result. But please, please, make your Purim Suddas as labadik as you can. It's difficult. We're in a situation where you say a small Suda, you might be just on, you might be with yourself and somebody else. You might even be on your own. But that's it. Suda, the simcha, the nes, everything that goes with it, that really is what it's all about and what the whole mitzvah is. And yes, this year we'll have to create the simcha. We'll have to generate it ourselves and it'll be focused on reality, on the real nes, on the everything that we're supposed to be thinking of, without the distractions, without the spielers, without the everything else that make us feel it's Purim. We've got to generate it ourselves within our homes. By all means, dress up in any way you wish to do so and make it really labadik, really happy, jolly, because that's the essence of Purim with everything else that's going on around us. That, I think, is all the halachas that we need to know. Let's have a look. There's some question over here. If you are doing in mourning, is there a time you should end it by the Suda? You should end the Suda, try and end the Suda if possible, as early as possible. I don't think there's a time you have to finish by. I think that certainly you should try and finish before about, you know, as early as possible. Try and start if you can, something like you start at 11 and you finish at 2. You start at as early as possible as you can, whatever time you feel you need for the Suda, have for the Suda. But when you're oisik in one mitzvah, you don't have to worry about the other one. But as much as you can, as earlier that you can begin, don't rush it so that the Purim Suda becomes a nothing and a non-entity. There's a mitzvah to be done. There's a mitzvah of simcha on Purim, of a Suda to celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua, the way he looked after us. That should be done properly and time should be devoted for it. If the Suda is in the morning, are we still obligated to eat meat? Yes, the mitzvah is to have a proper Suda, to wash and to have meat and to have anything. If you don't enjoy meat, you don't have to have meat. If you can't eat meat at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're not mechuyev to have what you don't want to have. But a Suda's mitzvah includes meat. And therefore, by all means, have it in the morning. If you have it from 10 till 12, and time it comes to probably about best part of 6:30, the time you sit down to have your Suda Shabbos, you'll have an appetite again. And therefore, that's the correct balance, and that's the way to balance things. I think that's all the questions. Any more questions? Anybody's got questions? I've really come to the end. Aloha, anybody else is welcome to ask. Thank you. That's very nice of them. Just very something very, very quick on the subject, just to go away with something very quick. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Peches on the base, with Om Yishor ben Levi, called Dibur v'Dibur. Each and every dibur of the Aseres HaDibros, sheyotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, he says that yotzei nishmasam shel Yisrael, we died, we couldn't take it. Our neshamas left us. And he brings a pasuk, says the Gemara, if the first dibur, we already, our neshamas disappeared, we were dead. So how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the second one? Says the Gemara, Hoirid Tal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down a special dew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to use for Tchias HaMesim, and he brought us back to life. Simple question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do that twice, so what was the point? What was going on? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it the second time if that's what happened? And Hashem knew it was going to happen the first time. What was the point in it, and what was going on? A very simple answer. And the answer is the following. What do you mean we died? Why did we die? What happened? Too much for us to take. What? Amazing. An opportunity. Never was, never will be again. Kadosh Baruch Hu came down from Shemayim onto Har Sinai and spoke to us. We heard Hashem. We could see the sound of Hashem, the Pasuk says. It was something incredible, unheard of. Why would we die? So the answer is that the Neshama and the Guf stay together when there's an equilibrium. If there's an strong injection of spirituality, and a shama becomes so buoyant, gravitates so much towards Shemayim, the guf can't keep up, because the guf gravitates downwards. The guf wants worldly pleasures, the neshama wants spiritual closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, due to that incredible concentrated injection of ruchnius, which was amazing, but anashamas, the gravitation of anashamas was up, and the guf just couldn't keep up. And therefore, the guf, meaning, couldn't spiritualize quick enough to be able to house the neshama, and that's what happened. So what did Hashem do? Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't put the same neshamas back. No, we got back the elevated neshamas. We got back Naseh v'Nishma neshamas, ready for 613 mitzvahs. Goyim also had neshamas, but they stayed with the ones they were given with seven mitzvahs. We became Am Kodesh from then forevermore. And what was the purpose of it? Says the Marshal the following. Hashem knew this was going to happen. But yet, nonetheless, it was an experience that we had to have to make an indelible impression upon us. The first two of the Dibros are Anochi Hashem Elokecho, Asher Tzeisicho Me'etz Mitzrayim. That is, says the Marshal, that is, if you like, it is symbolic of all the mitzvahs aseh. The second commandment is Lo Yelecho Elohim Acherim Al Ponoi. That is symbolic and representative of all the mitzvahs Lo Sasei. We heard from Hashem himself. Hashem says Anochi Hashem Elokecho, keep the mitzvahs Sasei. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Lo Yelecho Elohim Acherim, all the mitzvahs Lo Sasei, keep away from them. Fulfill the mitzvahs Lo Sasei by not doing them. We heard this from Hashem. That made an indelible impression into our very essence, into deep down into our very psychic, that as the Pasuk says, that Levavu Nasu Seschem Bo Elokim, Kadosh Baruch Hu came to elevate you. Why? To elevate our neshamas, to give us higher, a stronger connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu from then on forever. And the second thing, the Pasuk continues, Levavu Tiyeh Yirosei Al Pneichem, to give us Yirah Shomayim forevermore. Levilti sechator, that we would never transgress any of Hashem's commandments. We heard from Hashem directly, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, all the mitzvahs aseh. We heard directly from Hashem Elokecho, Hashem, Loi Yelecho Elohim Acherim Al Ponoi. We could never, ever transgress our master's word ever again after that. The rest, we needed to hear the details of all the mitzvahs, Naseh, the Nishma will hear it afterwards. That's what was going on at Har Sinai, says the Marshal, to explain the Gemara. Much more, but no more time. But one thing just to finish off. Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe. Gematria of Torah, 611. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah, 611. The other two mitzvahs we heard directly from Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yehi Lecha. All the best. Kol Tov. Any more questions you think of afterwards, please, please don't hesitate to contact me. A great pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.